You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
And good morning once again, everyone, and welcome back. It is the WXVO Morning Report, our morning impact right here on 98.9 WXVO. I'm Chad Holmes. Ian Wells will join us in just a little bit, but first, start things off this morning. Another terrific show is coming this weekend here to Central Wisconsin. It is the Wausau Community Theater. They are presenting Home, I'm Darling by Laura Wade. It'll be at the UWSP Wausau Black Box Theater Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7 p.m. and then a special Sunday matinee at 2 p.m. And to talk about the production, talk about everything that's going on, we're very happy to sit around the table and talk to a couple of cast members, Chanel Vopel and Paula Hawkins. And ladies, both of you, thank you for coming on over this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. And again, we'll make sure you get a little bit closer to that microphone, Paula, and also Chanel as well. But Home, I'm Darling. Number one, you have to think about it when you say it. Darling, I'm home is the first thing in the mind. What is the meaning of the title of the show?
I think it's just a little bit of a juxtaposition just to get you started thinking about what the show is going to mean. It's a little bit backwards. It's a little bit flipped. And I think the show takes on lots of themes like that. A lot of talk about domesticity and the value of a woman's place in the home and in the workplace and in the world. So is it Darling, I'm Home, or is it Home, I'm Darling? So we all have to think about things just a little bit.
Based on that description, it sounds like it could be a drama, but it's not a drama, is it?
It's a little bit of a drama, but I would say it's a light drama. There's comedic moments in it, but there's still a lot of thoughtful material.
And Paula, what character are you playing?
I play Sylvia. I'm Judy's mother. I was raised through the 50s, and this show is about the 50s. I've learned a lot about it because I was only 10 at the end of the 50s. So mm-hmm. I'm learning a lot as my character about what it was actually like as a woman.
And Chanel, Paula said, you know, Judy's mother. And you are Judy. Can you talk a little bit about the character of Judy, one of the leads in the show?
Yes, I think Judy is quite interesting. She has a desire to live out her dreams, as we all do, right? And her dream is to live life authentically, like she is in the 1950s. So she chooses to leave the workforce, and she chooses to stay at home and keep her home clean and just live in just complete domestic tranquility. Everything is lovely. Everything's put away. There's not a single thing that you see in her home that isn't from the 1950s or earlier, that isn't handmade, that isn't vintage. And she takes such great pride in the care of her space. Mm-hmm. And so it's really interesting to see how much joy she gets from that. And then also, as a married person, as her character is married, she has to kind of reconcile that with like with her husband's desires and what does he want and what brings him fulfillment. You know, I think anybody who is in a relationship and who has been married has to have some like conversations about that. I don't know. I think she's just really interesting. I think she's a very dynamic character.
And Paula, what's the relationship between mother and daughter in this show?
I think they're close, loving, but I don't approve of her lifestyle. Mm. Because I was raised in the feminist era, the character, that this bothers me a lot, that she's not putting herself back out into the workforce and becoming a domestic goddess. This I don't approve of it.
And Chanel, Judy, when you were explaining the character, what's below the surface here? Is it as domestically blissful as you made it sound in your description? Is there anything below the surface there for your character?
There is so much below the surface. I would encourage people to come and see the show and find out.
Don't want to spoil it to her, right?
I think that no matter where we're at in life, even if things are really wonderful and feel successful and feel like they are what we want them to be, there's still some areas where things are not actually perfect. And if you can imagine an income or like a home with just one income, they're going to be financial decisions you have to make. And in this particular show, she doesn't have children. She's staying at home and taking care of the home, and that's her job. Mm-hmm. That's what she really is bringing value in her family and her relationship. But then her husband is the only income, so they have to kind of figure out how to manage life like that. And we know in today's economy, that can be a little bit of a financial challenge.
How many total characters are in the production?
Six.
Mm-hmm. How long has the rehearsal process been for this show?
this one a little bit longer, 7-8 weeks, I believe.
That is a bit longer than normal. Is that a good thing? Because I think that you can look at it maybe two ways, that sometimes it can be where, I don't know, for lack of a better term, you can peak too early. And do you feel like this has been good for this production, that having that little bit of extra time has
helped? I think
it's
been very good. We have actors who are seasoned actors. We have actors that are new to theater. And because of the dynamic relationships between all the characters, there's so many layers that I think the extended rehearsal period has been a very good thing.
And Chanel, what about you in terms of the process? How many shows have you been in, number one? Are you a theater veteran?
I guess I would be considered one of the veterans of the cast.
How do you look at, you know, when you start a production, you know, let's start maybe from the table read and then right to, until opening night. Your process, is there anything in particular that you feel is very important in terms of developing a character?
Yes. So I actually read the script, I think, about 4 or 5 years ago, and I just fell in love with the story. I knew we needed to produce it at some point, and now was the right time to do it, so it was great. As a performer, I really dive into the heart of the character that I'm playing. I want to know their thoughts, their feelings, their motivations. I want to understand their history. And what I found so intriguing with Judy is that she had an unconventional life growing up, and she chooses a different but also unconventional life as an adult. And I thought that was really interesting to dive into. And with any script, the author kind of tells you what they want you to know about the character, but then they give you a freedom to develop more ideas on your own. And I think we've been able to have the opportunity to really do that. And with this show in particular, there's a lot of cultural references. This is an English production. It's set in Britain. Mm. It's set in modern times, but of course, it's also kind of set in the 50s or aesthetically in the 50s. So we've had to study British accents and dialect training. We've really looked into modern pop culture. We've looked into 1950s historical references and culture. So it's been a really fun learning process.
We will have more with Chanel Vopel and Paula Hawkins of the Wausau Community Theater and their production of Home, I'm Darling, coming this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Black Box Theater at UWSP at Wausau. We'll be back with them at 7:22. Coming up next, top of the hour information update, and then more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And talking generally about Wausau Community Theater, something I talked about Ian about is, you know, he finds it to be so encouraging and welcoming. And for folks out there who may, you know, have an interest in it, they may have, you know, sit in the audience this coming weekend and they think, well, I'd like to be involved in some way. Give us your pitch. Why should they do it?
Yeah, come play with us. We're here to create art and do things for the community and build theater locally, so you don't have to drive all the way to Minneapolis or Chicago or those big, you know, those faraway places with expensive tickets to go see theater. We can do it here. It's a wonderful outlet if you have an artistic itch or a logistical itch. I'm more logistical than artistic. I stage manage a lot. I like to really organize and bring people together, and it's so much fun. Most of our rehearsals are in the evening, so for a lot of folks that works really nicely with a work schedule. We are very family friendly. I've had productions where my production staff was a set of parents, and so the kids were playing in one room or just hanging out, and sometimes they got involved and we put them up on stage as well. So it's been really cool to see like all the relationships that you can build and all of the different types of things that we can do. And I know in particular with our theater on the side, we've been striving every production to bring in a new element of tech. So we have a new tech thing that we're trying this production. So if you really want to try something different or new, this is a great place for that.
Paula, what about your experiences with WCT?
Yeah, my grandson, he's 16, is helping with this show backstage. This is the third show he's worked on, and he is having such a wonderful time. He loves this. When I was talking with him last night, I said, you know, this is the kind of place that you meet people that you had never ever meet anywhere else. Mm-hmm. It brings in people from all walks of life, that you would probably never meet any other way, any mm-hmm. other time. And it's all ages. You can start with children's theater, you can get into adult theater, and so you get to work with people, children, all ages, which is very cool too.
You mentioned that the theater on the side, and this is a production for your Theater on the Side program at WCT.
Yes.
One of the interesting things from my perspective, and I've actually gone to a couple of the shows on the side, and actually when they're over at the Whitewater, but now you're in the Black Box. But the thing that jumps out to me is, I know there are a lot of folks that love the musicals, mm-hmm. but I think shows like this, these kind of shows really do add to the palette of the WCT, don't they?
I think so. I think musicals are wonderful. They have their place. I've directed, I've performed in them. I love them. But there's something so wonderful about getting that intimate experience of really crafting a story where you don't have the props and the flashiness of all of the singing and dancing. You've got to really dive into the storytelling of building a characters, and you get time to really focus on details. And with Theater on the Side, because we're a smaller stage, like this time we're in a Black Box theater, the audience is going to feel like they're sitting in my kitchen. They're going to see the running water and the opening refrigerator and the dishes and the crumbs. They're going to be so up close and a part of everything, and it's so cool. And I love a musical, but you won't get that in a musical. You have to be in an audience farther away, 20, 30, 40, 50 feet back,
yep.
and just watch from a distance. And here you get to be a part of our show.
And Paula, as a performer in a situation like this, when you do have the audience so close, do you sense it differently than in a different production or where it's maybe more traditional, where there's that buffer between you and the audience?
You do. You feel their emotion. You can sense it. With a big musical, you hear the applause and that's it. You don't get that sense of, you don't hear the or a crying. You know, sometimes you hear a sob or something, so you know you've touched them, and it's fulfilling. I've done both musicals and straight plays, and I love the musicals, but I don't have a lead voice, so I don't have a chance to get a lead character where I do in a play. That makes it more fulfilling for me. I love both, but yeah, I like the straight plays.
And I guess before we begin the information on how to see it this coming weekend, what's the final pitch? You have a chance here for folks that are thinking about, hey, I have some options to go out this coming weekend. Why should they come and see this show?
This one in particular has such strong characters, diverse, but they're very developed characters, and the cast portraying them is very strong, I think. That's a big plus.
I think it's an interesting story. I think if you like to watch movies, if you like to binge on Netflix, you'll enjoy something like this. It tells a story. It's something interesting. You'll have moments where you laugh. You might have moments where you're shocked or you're going to cry. There's definitely going to be a little bit of thinking and ruminating at the end of the production. And I hope that it opens up dialogue for people to just have a good chat with a friend. I mean, to get to talk about, like, oh, wow, that I've never actually thought about the world this way. And also still have an enjoyable time. Because I think that's what I love most about this story, is it's thoughtful, but it's still enjoyable. That's why I said it's a drama, but it's light.
There's nothing like live theater.
Right.
I mean,
and
it really isn't.
The vibe, because of the 50s, to see the 50s in the set. The set's wonderful.
And imagine the costumes.
Yeah, the costumes are vintage, and they're wonderful. Yeah,
they are actually, I think, mostly all vintage.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Not all of them, but really close. And you've been wearing heels and a big puffy skirt for all of the rehearsals. So it's been fun.
Fantastic. Really great opportunity. Home I'm Darling by Laura Wade, performed at the UWSP Wassup Black Box Theater this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7 p.m., and then a matinee on Sunday at 2 p.m. You can get tickets. Go to the Wassup Community Theater Facebook page. You have a rather long, little bit of a longer website, but what we'll do as well is on our podcast page, in our show notes, we will have a link where you can get your tickets as well. So just go to our podcast page, and we'll have the link in terms of getting tickets. And you were saying, Laura?
Oh,
Paula.
And there may be tickets at the door, too. Right now, the Sunday performance is nearing sold out, but... come. Try to get a ticket.
There you go.
It's worth it.
Chanel Vopel and Paula Hawkins, break a leg, and thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.
The time is 7:29. Coming up, bottom of the hour, we'll have the farm report, an information update. We'll look at the weather forecast and, again, get you ready for the rest of the day. Then following that, it's more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
Happy Monday. You are listening to the WXCO Morning Report on 98.9 FM and 1230 AM, online at WXCO.FM, and on the Civic Media app as well. You can also listen to us on, also watch us on our YouTube channel as well. It's an absolutely beautiful day. Out there, the sun is shining with a high of 60 at the moment. It's actually pretty comfortable. Well, I am your engineer, producer, Ian Welsh. And
I am Chad Holmes, and good morning. Again, WXCO Morning Report, Monday morning, as we are now to the 15th day of September, midway through the month, but we are going to expect very summer-like weather, in fact, for this week. Look for temperatures, high temperatures, around 80 degrees for much of the week. Not much in terms of precipitation either. So if you're somebody that is looking to stretch out the summer and use that as an opportunity to keep those outdoor activities coming, it will be a great week for that. And also, again, thanks earlier to our guests from the Owosso Community Theater. Your opportunity will be on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evening, and also Sunday afternoon. Home, I'm Darling at the Black Box Theater at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point at Wausau Campus, and their Venega Theater, again, the Black Box, brand new location for the Theater on the Side programs. And as I mentioned at the end of our interview a few minutes ago, that we will have a link for you on our show notes every day. We have our WXCO Morning Report, and we have the four segments of the Morning Report. They're all put in as a podcast, and you have an opportunity to listen to it at your convenience. You'll hear those two segments that involved our interview with our WCT cast members, and then also these two segments as well, and you can listen to them all in one sitting. Don't have to break it up like we do here during the morning. But we also have notes on what we talk about each and every morning. Go to WXCO.FM, and you'll see on the front page, you'll see the news section. You'll see the WXCO Morning Report, and you just click on that. You'll see the description and also the link to the podcast. And also, we often will put unedited versions of our interviews, and we'll do that again today with our WCT cast members. But we will also have, again, a link for you to get those tickets. And as we heard, this is a very small venue, the Black Box Theater, so not a lot of tickets. So if you're somebody that usually would wait until show night and get those tickets at the door, that is a possibility, but maybe not as big a possibility as normal. So I would suggest that you check out the link, click that link if you know you're going to be able to see one of the shows again this coming weekend. Four different opportunities: Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings, and then Sunday a matinee with the Wausau Community Theater. Have you ever been to the Black Box at the Venega?
I have, actually, but not as a performance. It's a space, but more of a a backstage, a dressing room hangout space as well. It's a very nice Black Box. It's very open. It's actually, I can imagine it'd be a great place to have a smaller show like WCT is going to have this coming weekend.
So absolutely.
And not many tickets available, because the Black Box, like you said, is not very big. So make sure you get those tickets in advance, because they will definitely go by quick as soon as the weekend comes.
very intimate theater. You feel it. You're right there on top of it. And that was the case as well when the performances for the Theater on the Side were at the Whitewater Music Hall.
It was such a great venue.
They had the seats very close. I remember seeing Crimes of the Heart there. That was very, very fun to be that close to the action. I mean, you could almost literally touch the actors and be that close. It felt like you were on stage yourself, and it's going to be even to a even better level for this show as well. So again, there's so many great opportunities for the arts here in North Central Wisconsin, whether you're being involved in them or whether as a spectator, and this will be an opportunity for a spectator this weekend. Another big week of high school sports coming up here on 98.9 WXCO. Coming up on Wednesday, we will have our big high school sports show from 6 until 8 p.m. We will talk about what happened last weekend in high school football, look ahead, plus guests as well. I know our student athlete guest for this week, Corbin Enzenroth of DC Evers. He had a massive game with more than 200 yards rushing, helping DC Evers pass Wausau West on Friday night by a score of 17-0. Corbin Enzenroth will be our student athlete guest just after 7 o'clock. I have my invitation out for a area coach of a team that earned a significant win on Friday night. Have not been able to confirm it yet, so I will not say it yet, but we will have a coach, and I think the one that we have invited would be a terrific one to hear about after a good win on Friday night. So again, join myself and Jason Foster this Wednesday and every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. for the big high school sports show right here on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And this week we have three high school football games between Thursday and Friday. On Thursday night, we will have the Wausau East Lumberjacks at Mosinee. Wausau East at Mosinee in a great Northern Conference matchup. 6:35 for the pregame, 7 o'clock for the opening kickoff. Again, live here on 98.9 WXCO and online. Then same for the Wausau West Warriors on Friday. Wausau West plays host to Wisconsin Rapids, 6:35 for the pregame. And Newman Catholic in a big one in the CW8 takes on the first-place team of the conference, Marion Tigerton. That game will be heard on the Sports 2 stream of WXCO.fm and the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:40. And that game will also air on tape delay following the West game at Friday night as well. So again, a very busy week coming up of high school athletics on Wausau's only radio play-by-play home for high school sports, 98.9 WXCO. The time is almost 8 o'clock. Information update coming up, and then we'll be back. We'll have our number for the day quiz coming up.
Yep.
In our next WXCO mornings report at 8:22.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And good morning once again. Time is 8:22. Beautiful start here in North Central Wisconsin. Sunny skies, mild temperatures, should be just a wonderful weather day and a wonderful weather week. 62 degrees is the temperature at our downtown Wausau studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. I am Chad Holmes with Ian Welsh. This is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, here on 98.9 WXCO. Well, Ian, coming up in a few minutes, we'll have our number for the day quiz. I'm going to tell you what the number for the day quiz will involve because it involves the story I need to talk about.
Okay.
Our number for the day quiz, the number today, will be the United States Department of Education budget for fiscal year 2024. That's the number that I have in front of me. Okay. So that's going to be our number for the day because a story that came out yesterday that I was very miffed about concerns the United States Department of Education has abruptly terminated nearly $11 million for two grant programs that have been helping Wisconsin serve children with vision and hearing loss, and others receiving special education services. This is according to the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, and I saw it on a story on WASAPilotsandReview.com that came from the Wisconsin Examiner. So, number one, Wisconsin Superintendent Jill Underly called on the Trump administration to reconsider the decision in a statement. The amount of money that is been cut here for this program, the grant funds from the program, totaled $10.5 million. $10.5 million is a lot of money to you or I. It's everybody. But when you look at the total budget of the United States Department of Education and the United States of America, it is not a big amount. But to have a time where Jill Underly said, a time where when schools in every corner of the state are struggling to find and keep special educators, cutting this support is unconscionable and harmful to every student with an IEP.
Yeah.
I mean, this is heartless. You're taking away education opportunities to children who are blind and deaf to begin with, and other special needs. And do you know why? You know why the Trump administration says they're doing this? I mean, this is just, again, pettiness. Just pettiness. According to the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, the Trump administration said the programs, quote, reflect the prior administration's priorities and policy preferences and conflict with those of the current administration, end quote. You know what that means? It means that the previous Democratic administration, the Biden administration, put a priority on funding special education and funding educational opportunities for blind and deaf children. And they say that is not their priority. And that those kind of programs conflict with the priorities of the Donald Trump administration. This makes me livid, to be honest with you.
I don't blame you. It's absolutely heartless.
They're taking away money and opportunities from blind and deaf children because they say that is not the priority of the Trump administration. The Trump administration has plenty of money to flash around for tax cuts for billionaires, but do not have a minor amount of money compared to the total budget for blind and deaf children.
That is absolute bull.
This is just incredible, to be honest with you. And that they would say it. That this was the prior administration had a heart, they're saying, we don't care a wit's end for blind and deaf children. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Shameful.
And I hope Jill Underly and the Wisconsin Department of Education find somewhere in this Trump administration somebody who has a heart, somebody who has a brain, because this is good for our society to be able to have these children be taught and become productive members of society.
Mm-hmm.
So again, another example. What you vote for in these elections have consequences. And
absolutely.
Folks that voted for Donald Trump, this is what you voted for. One of many things that you voted for. It's wrong on every single level.
And let me just say one quick thing about this. Those of you who voted for Trump, you were thinking that this wasn't going to affect you at all? Well, guess what? It may not affect you, but it's affecting other people as well who actually need this and actually are suffering because of this. So I'm sorry if it's not about you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, it's insane.
It's not a time to be selfish. It's a time to be selfless.
Well, this administration is the administration of selfishness. I mean, that is for sure. All right, let's get to our number for the day because it does involve this story.
Okay.
How much did the Department of Education spend in fiscal year 2024? And I said this was a very small sliver. What was the Department of Education's budget for fiscal year 2024?
Okay.
Your choices are $268.4 billion, $368.4 billion. $468.4 billion.
You know what? I'm going to say
268, 368, 468.4.
I'm going to say 368.4. That's my final answer.
You keep going with that middle number so many times. That's your co-op.
That's just my go-to response.
The Department of Education spent $268.4 billion in fiscal year 2024.
I was trying to be optimistic.
I know. Well, we'll get you back on the winning track tomorrow.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Well, enjoy this great weather.
Yep. You too, Chad. Happy Monday, everybody. Take care.
Yep, we'll be back tomorrow morning. Coming up next, more of Pat Kreitlow. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.